Hello, this is William Fink. Welcome to the Christogenia European Fellowship Forum. Today is Thursday, March 15th, 2012, and this year is just zooming by as quickly as last year went by. Well, Christogenia finally got delivery on its new server today, and I'm setting that up as we speak, sort of. I'm just transferring files to it now. Hopefully, my main sites will be transferred to the new server tonight. Christogenia.net, which hosts this TeamSpeak chat server, is not going to move until Sunday. And I'll move it Sunday because that's when Sunday morning when it gets the least amount of traffic. Hopefully that move will be smooth. If you are connecting by IP number, you'll have a problem after the move. If you connect by using the Christogenia.net address, you will not have a problem after the move. With that being said, today I'd like to, tomorrow, after this Euro Forum, I'm packing, and tomorrow I'll be in Philadelphia, and tomorrow night Christogenia on TalkShoe will be conducted from beautiful southeastern Pennsylvania, or I should say once beautiful southeastern Pennsylvania. Saturday evening on TalkShoe, Carolyn Yeager is going to fill in for me, and she's going to be with Rodney Martin, and they're going to do a program on the social life of National Socialist Germany, and that should be really interesting. I'll hate to miss it. I'm probably going to try to catch it live. Today I'd like to talk about about a battle that Christians really lost 150 years ago. And it's a damn shame that if they'd have stood up for their own Christian principles, we wouldn't be in the shape that we are in today. However, like all societies, they erode incrementally and are usually too far gone before enough people notice that there's a problem. And that's the point we're at now, right? There's not much that we could do about this now, but it's nice to be able to see how we dropped the ball. We as a people dropped the ball. You can't renovate a house that's been infested with termites for 150 years, right? You just tear it down and build another one. And that's what we face the need for today. Of course, we understand, being Christians, that vengeance belongs to our God, and it's going to be up to Him to tear this house down so that we can build another one. That's the promise of Christianity. In the meantime, we have to learn the lessons that this life has offered us, and we get to see how we've dropped the ball. I'm going to talk about freedom of association today. I have a short presentation here. I'd just like to make a few important points. I'm going to begin by quoting from the Oxford Dictionary of Politics, and they have a short article on freedom of association. And I quote, and this is taken from answers.com, and I quote, "The freedom of individuals to associate as an end in itself or with view pursuing common projects, for example, through churches, trade unions, political parties, and sporting clubs. Freedom of association is widely seen by liberal political philosophers as a core personal liberty warranting strict protection by the state, though the exact contours of the freedom and how it is appropriately balanced against other values are a matter of considerable and continuing dispute." Well, of course they are, because you always have people, certain people, who are trying to force themselves on others, right? Force themselves into other people's societies. That's the story of Scripture. Christ said that the kingdom of heaven has been pronounced since the days of John the Baptist, and the violent ones force their way into it. To continue with the article, John Stuart Mill, in On Liberty, argues that citizens should have freedom to unite for any purpose not involving harm to others, a formulation which leaves open the question of what counts as sufficient harm to others to justify state interference. John Rawls, and this I think is pretty good, John Rawls in Political Liberalism, written in 1993, argues that freedom of association is a basic liberty because, and to the extent that, it is an extension of liberty of conscience. And that's an excellent assessment. And conscience must include religious conscience. And there'll be a lot more on that later. One major point of controversy concerns the extent to which freedom of association should be understood to include the right to refuse membership. And this is important to see how this has been twisted. The right to refuse membership of a given association to others who may wish to join it. May and should the state strike down membership rules which exclude on the basis of ascriptive characteristics such as race and gender? A considerable body of case law has recently emerged. Case law, read Talmudic law, right? A considerable body of case law has recently emerged in the United States on this issue. There, the Supreme Court has determined that the United States Constitution asserts two fundamental rights of free association. That's a straight lie. That's just a deception. That they've invented that. A right of intimate association and a right to associate for expressive, essentially religious or political purposes. Where association, and we'll see that this is an absolutely false construct that the Supreme Court has concocted in order to allow our enemies to foist themselves upon us. Where associations fail to meet the court's demanding criteria of intimacy, the court has ruled that government may require associations to satisfy equal opportunity norms in their membership policies, unless departure from these norms will clearly undermine the association's specific expressive purposes. And there's a specific court ruling mentioned here in the Minnesota Department of Human Rights versus the United States JCs. This to me is evil because it forces associations on people who would not otherwise associate. Therefore, it is a violation of one's religious right. We have lost this battle because we have failed to properly defend our religious right. I'll continue with, well, let me say that the U.S. court system should never have accepted any such lawsuits in the first place, because any entertainment of a suit of this type is automatically a consideration to violate someone's freedom to associate, someone's right to free association. As soon as the court decides to hear that case, they are violating that right or considering the violation of that right. They have no business in it. Back to the article. Critics argue that it is unreasonable to expect associations to show that all membership policies are rationally derived from their expressive purposes. Such an expectation, critics claim, will inhibit the evolution of associations over time and thus make for a poorer associational life overall. Another major point of controversy concerns the extent to which individuals should have the right to refuse membership of associations that others would like them to join, for example, a trade union at a given place of work. Enforced membership in such cases may violate liberty of conscience, though complete volunteerism may also result in situations where some individuals unfairly free ride on the associational activism of others. Well, that's untrue, and that's a false argument since it's voluntary in the first place. Volunteerism, the voluntary will to associate or not to associate, it is can't be violated, and it can't be morphed into something which it isn't. It's just an untrue argument. The first problem is that we see associations as only being formal associations, and associations are that they should be seen not only as formal associations or groups such as the Boy Scouts or your church group or something like the Jaycees or the Elks Lodge. That's an association. However, we in our everyday lives associate with other people in the common course of our life all the time. And Christians, and we'll get into this in a few minutes, Christians are told that they must regulate their associations. The ancient Roman historian Tacitus, in his Annals of Imperial Rome, claimed, among other things, that Christians had antisocial tendencies. I would assert that today, if Christians would only put their profession, put their religion into practice, they should indeed have antisocial tendencies. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, "I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, nor with the covetous, nor with extortioners, nor with idolaters, for then must you need go out of the world." In other words, if we have to keep company with these people, we have to disassociate ourselves from society, because we are not to keep company. We are not to associate ourselves with fornicators, with idolaters, people that worship gods other than the one true God, or gods other than Jesus Christ. We're not to company with extortioners. We're not to company or associate ourselves with people who are covetous or people that are otherwise sinners. James 4:4, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." 2 John chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. "Whosoever transgresses and abides not in the doctrine of Christ has not God. He that abides in the doctrine of Christ, he has both the Father and the Son. If there come anyone unto you and brings not this doctrine," in other words, if that person is not a professed Christian, "receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that bids him Godspeed," in other words, even greeting a non-Christian, "is a partaker of his evil deeds." 2 John 9:11. Not too many churches teach that one. 2 Thessalonians 3:14. "And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed." Let's read that in the New American Standard Edition. "And if anyone does not obey our instruction in this letter, take special note of that man and do not associate with him." The people that we have normal discourse with during the day, they are our associations. If you go buy something from a merchant, you're associating with that merchant. If you go eat dinner with somebody, you're associating with that person. If you go eat dinner in a restaurant full of gypsies and Kaffirs, you're associating with gypsies and Kaffirs. 2 Corinthians 6:14 through 18. "Be not unequally yoked together." In other words, don't share the same society with unbelievers. "For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what concord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has he that believes with an infidel? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell among them, and I will walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate." Christians, true Christians, are to be a separate people. "And touch not the unclean, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters." Christians have basically lost their right to freely choose who they associate with and who they do not associate with. And they have lost that right because they have failed to defend it on the proper grounds. In the United States courts, and this is evident in the arguments before the Supreme Court on this issue, the extent of freedom of association has been argued in relation to the rights of free speech or the right of free assembly. And while it is indeed related to those rights, it is also related to the right of one to practice his religion. And it cannot be determined by the state what the limits of any individual's religious worship may be, because the state, under the First Amendment, is barred from making laws concerning religion. Christians have a basic religious obligation not to associate with sexual deviants, not to associate with any other types of sinners, and also not to associate with people from other religions. Christians cannot be compelled, they cannot be justly compelled, even to make simple business transactions with people from other religions. Exodus 23, 32 and 33, thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor with their gods. They shall not dwell in thy land. You cannot be forced to rent your apartment to a Hindu. They shall not dwell in thy land, lest they make thee sin against me, for if thou serve their gods, it shall surely be a snare unto thee. On the basis of passages such as 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10, Christians can also assert the right to maintain racial distinctions, as well as religious and behavioral distinctions, and no state can tell any particular Christian that he is wrong for doing so, since it violates his right to free conscience. I'm going to read a few definitions. Religion. This is from Merriam-Webster. The state of a religious person, I guess. The service and worship of God or the supernatural. Commitment or devotion to religious faith or observance. A personal set or institutionalized system. This is important. Your religion doesn't have to be what the Catholic Church says it is. Your religion doesn't have to be what the Lutherans say it is or the Anglicans say it is. It's a personal set or institutionalized system of religious attitudes, beliefs, and practices. 4, a cause, principle, or system of beliefs held to with ardor and faith. From the American Heritage, Dictionary of the English Language, 4th edition. Religion. Belief in and reverence for a supernatural power or powers regarded as creator and governor of the universe. A personal or institutionalized system, personal or institutionalized. So a bishop or a pope has nothing to do with telling you what your religion is. A personal or institutionalized system grounded in such belief and worship. A set of beliefs, values, and practices based on the teachings of a spiritual leader. A cause, principle, or activity pursued with zeal or conscientious devotion. From the Collins English Dictionary. Religion. Belief in, worship of, or obedience to supernatural. Or obedience to, this is important because this is how religion's defined. Or obedience to a supernatural power or powers considered to be divine. Any formal or institutionalized expression of such belief, the attitude and feeling of one who believes in a transcending controlling power or powers. Let's look at definitions for worship. Now that we see religion is both personal and institutionalized, and that's basically some of the principles that this nation was founded on. Worship, from dictionary.com. Reverent honor and homage paid to God or a sacred personage. They always leave the room open for the. In our dictionaries, they always leave the door open for other gods or for secularism. But the definitions still are still valid definitions in a Christian perspective. Formal or ceremonious rendering of honor and homage. This is worship now. Adoring reverence or regard. The object of adoring reverence or regard. Now, I'm going to skip the British definitions because they have to do with titles of magistrates, right? Worship is a verb, and this is from the Collins English Dictionary. To show profound religious devotion and respect to adore or venerate God or any person or thing considered divine. To be devoted to and full of admiration for. To honor. Worship is a noun from the American Heritage College Dictionary. Dictionary of the English Language, I'm sorry, fourth edition. The reverent love and devotion accorded a deity. The ceremonies, prayers, or other religious forms by which this love is expressed. Of course, Christians are demanded to express their love through obedience to God. Ardent devotion or adoration, and as a verb, to honor and love as a deity. If you love me, keep my commandments. To regard with ardent or adoring esteem. To participate in religious rites of worship, to perform an act of worship. If Christians have an unalienable right to worship, which is to honor and love, and to be devoted to and to respect, as these definitions have said, their Christian God, then Christians have an unalienable right not to associate with anyone whom they feel is unworthy of their Christian God based upon their own consciences and not upon any state dictate. This basic right of associations was self-evident to our Christian founders. And because it was self-evident, it wasn't mentioned explicitly. However, it's included in those ideas in the First Amendment of the Constitution, which I shall read. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. In other words, the government cannot tell me what my religion is. The government cannot tell me that my religion can include all peoples because I say it doesn't. My profession says it doesn't. The government cannot tell me that I have to take a Negro into my home or into my office or into my store because my religion precludes that. And the government is violating my rights. They're violating my rights by trying to tell me otherwise. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people peaceably to assemble. But association is not limited to the right of the people peaceably to assemble, as the courts try to pigeonhole it, and to petition the government for redress of grievances. Yet, you know, even in Europe, in the European Convention on Human Rights, in Article 9, it provides a right to freedom of thought, conscience, and religion, even though that's violated all the time, especially in the courts in Germany, right, and Austria, well, which is absolutely incredible. But Article 9 of the European Convention on Human Rights says that men have a right, men and women, of course, have a right to freedom of thought, conscience, and religion. I'm going to read some passages from the various state constitutions. In Arkansas, Article 2, Section 24 of their state constitution says, all men have a natural and indefeasible right to worship Almighty God according to the dictates of their own consciences. In other words, no government can tell you what your religion is and define its precepts for you. We'll see that throughout many of these state constitutions. In Delaware, through divine goodness, this is from the preamble of the Delaware state constitution. Through divine goodness, all men have by nature the rights of worshiping and serving their creator according to the dictates of their consciences, not of some popes, not of some bishops, not of some local parish minister. Kansas, Bill of Rights, Section 7, the right to worship God according to the dictates of conscience. shall never be infringed. Shall never be infringed. Kentucky, Section 1, Clause 2. The right of worshiping Almighty God according to the dictates of their consciences. Maine, this is a good one. The state of Maine, Article 1, Section 3. All individuals have a natural and unalienable right to worship Almighty God according to the dictates of their own consciences. And no person shall be hurt, molested, or restrained in that person's liberty or estate for worshiping God in the manner and season most agreeable to the dictates of that person's own conscience, nor for that person's religious professions or sentiments, provided that person does not disturb the public peace nor obstruct others in their religious worship. Well, if a Jew or a Negro is trying to force himself on me and I reject that person, he does not have a right to force himself on me. And that right, even if it's perceived, cannot violate my rights to practice my religion according to my conscience. I do not have to associate with Jews and Negroes. And the state can't force me to do so. And we've lost that because we failed to defend our freedom of association properly. We failed to even understand it. This is a good one. Massachusetts, Part 1, Article 2. If you told half the people, three-quarters of the people in Massachusetts today, that their constitution said this, that they would hate you, they would deride you, they would tell you to get lost, they wouldn't believe you. Part 1, Article 2. It is the right as well as the duty of all men in society, publicly and at stated seasons, to worship the supreme being, the great creator and preserver of the universe. Well, maybe that's why most people in Massachusetts are worshiping Jews. And no subject shall be hurt, molested, or restrained in his person, liberty, or estate for worshiping God in the manner and season most agreeable to the dictates of his own conscience. Michigan, Article 1, Section 4. Every person shall be at liberty to worship God according to the dictates of his own conscience. Article 1, Section 16, Michigan State Constitution. The right of every man to worship God according to the dictates of his own conscience shall never be infringed. The Missouri State Constitution, the Nebraska State Constitution, they all have similar, the New Jersey State Constitution, they all have similar statements. New Hampshire's good. Every individual has a natural and unalienable right to worship God according to the dictates of his own conscience and reason, and no subject shall be hurt, molested, or restrained in his person, liberty, or estate for worshiping God in a manner and season most agreeable to the dictates of his own conscience. All of these state constitutions have similar clauses, and they all have clauses that have to do with the public peace. And if somebody is forcing themselves on you, they are violating your peace. And if somebody is trying to force themselves into your association, if your association is founded on Christian principles, they are violating your peace and they are violating your right to worship God according to your own conscience. If the state is dictating who you do business with, then you're not a free man, you're a slave. That's the bottom line. We are slaves because we have not effectively defended our freedoms. And we haven't effectively defended our freedoms because rather than understand and admit to our religious freedom, lawyers have fought for the defense of these rights along secular grounds and related to the freedom of assembly, the freedom of speech, and the courts will argue, well, other people can assemble and other people can have speech. Well, that is true, but that doesn't mean they have to associate with me and my diktats of who I feel that I should associate with and who I feel I shouldn't are regulated by my religion. And nobody can tell me what my religion is, according to our founding documents.